Breathe. Keep your heart broken open. Breathe. Keep your heart broken open. Not because you have hope, but because you love. I couldn't do our usual order of worship today. I couldn't follow the well-trodden paths of our liturgy, the dunt-da-dunt-da-dunt of it all. It felt to me like the choice that was made by the American people this week was too big, too impactful to be held in the same structure and frame that we're used to. I also needed to release any notion that somehow my homily today was something to wait for. Something that would have answers worthy of the last word. The pressure is off. The truth is, I feel like someone I love has died. It's that same kind of wrenching ache, confusion, anger, emptiness, bargaining, rationalizing, the roller coaster panic kind of yuck that constitutes the experience of grieving. I want it not to be true. I want a miracle fix or someone to tell me it's just a dream. I want to rage and cry and blame. I also want to give up and sleep and hide. Just doing the basic work of living these past few days has been exhausting. Have you felt that too? And there are also some shimmers of light, words of wisdom that have come to me, words of comfort. The words that Ivy read by Venice Williams steadied me some. You are awakening to the very same country you fell asleep to, the very same one. Pull yourself together. She said, some of my ancestors, and we know this is true, dealt with at least 400 years of this under worse conditions. This is the very same country we were on Monday. Pull yourself together. Breathe and keep your heart broken open. I think that in the weeks and months ahead, it's going to be important that we do the work of trying to understand why and how this is still happening here. It will be important in the weeks and months ahead to look in the mirror and think critically about what we missed, what we maybe haven't listened fully to, or how we can better message, support, and collaboratively create the beautiful world we see as possible with our fellow Americans, all of those who currently see their safety and survival as dependent on people and policies that are in direct opposition to our theology of love, inclusion, equality, and freedom. There is this incredible gap, a chasm that is deep and wide, but it isn't uncrossable. And this is how I know this. The gap itself, the chasm, has been created largely by misinformation, manipulative spin, and outright lies. That means that the chasm itself is a lie. It's not real. That means it can be closed and we can be brought back together again, because I refuse to believe that even a large majority of the over 70 million people in my country that voted the way that they did are bad people who want bad things to happen to other people. We have work to do in spreading truth, doubling down on truth, in sharing our hearts and minds, in refusing to manipulate, in refusing to be manipulated, and to refuse to stoop to allowing our own methods of misinformation and manipulative spin and our own communications. We have work to do. But what I need to tell you, what matters most to me in this moment, in this right now, is that we don't panic. Nobody panic. Don't react just for reaction's sake. Let's remember first the people that will be most impacted by this administration. Who are the people that most need our support right now? How do we ease the fear of those who may lose life-saving benefits, who may lose their very home through deportation, their rights to health care? How do we repair and maintain the integrity of our children's education? Who needs our help right now? Where can we provide support? We are not the first to go through this. As we've said, people of color, women, indigenous folks have all been living in these scary and difficult environments for hundreds of years, their voices unheard, their value unseen. What it must be like, I think, to know as a Wabanaki tribe member that no matter which political party is in power, you will be denied sovereignty, no matter what. This is not new. I have found some guidance and wisdom from my colleague, the Reverend Elizabeth Stevens, recently. She's a UU minister in Idaho. Can you imagine being a UU minister in a red state like Idaho? These little tiny pockets of people trying to do good things. Whew. She knows what it is to work and serve in a hostile environment, and we can learn something from their work. She said, "Here in Idaho, we've been living in a state controlled by hostile and unchecked political extremists who continually act in ways that are at odds with our deepest values. As we contemplate a future where extremists control all three branches of our federal government, I want to share with you a couple of things I've learned along the way. The first," she says, "is I try to focus on people, not policy." She says, "It's not that I don't pay attention to harmful legislation. I still write emails and faxes and letters and make calls, but I know it's not going to make a damn bit of difference." So in evaluating where I put the bulk of my energy, I prioritize anything that might relieve the suffering of actual human beings who are impacted by the legislation. Maybe you know that Timothy Snyder has said the first rule of combating fascism is to not comply in advance. And Elizabeth Stevens says, "I wholeheartedly agree with that, but I'd add that maybe we shouldn't do anything else in advance either." After wasting a lot of energy on dread, catastrophizing, and grieving for what could be, I've learned that I need to marshal my resources so that I can respond to what is actually happening in the moment right in front of me. Usually, things don't wind up being quite as awful as I imagined, though they're plenty bad. The question I ask myself over and over again, she says, is, "What is love asking of me now? What is love asking of me now?" And the answers have been surprising. She says, and I agree, "I am 100% ready to risk my own safety to protect those who are more vulnerable than I am. But more often, what love asks of me are things like cooking chili to raise funds for students creating a lending library for gender-supporting supplies, or putting on sequins and singing Kesha songs to raise money for the fight for reproductive freedom. Basically, living in a hostile environment has looked mostly like continuing to live my life and encouraging my folks to do the same. We dance, we sing, we eat food, we laugh a lot, we cultivate resilience by deepening spiritually. We try to take exquisite care of ourselves and one another. Joy is resistance. Rest is resistance. Hang in there, beloveds." I love all of that, and I don't have a lot of hope right now. It's only been 5 days. And I think that's why I appreciated the Liz James reading, especially when she said that giving up hope was an act of loving my friend as she was, instead of some image of what we might be able to transform her into. It called me back to gratitude for all of the things that are still good and okay. Hope kept you visiting her? No, it didn't. Love kept me visiting her. And our country is like that for me. Accepting America as she is right now, starting really right here, feeling lucky still to live here, to be part of this growing and evolving nation. If hope was a prerequisite for continuing to work for justice, I'd be out. But love keeps me trying. Love for my family, for this land, love for a government that is by the people and for the people. That's worth fighting for. And is America perfect? No, of course not. My friend Paul Totaro from the Ellsworth congregation wrote something on Facebook this morning, and I took a little snippet of it. He actually listed all of the things that America's done over the last 400 years that felt good to him. I agree with a lot of them. It's not worth listing them for you. You can come up with them on your own. But he said at the end, "Do you expect perfection from primates whose genetic makeup is 96% similar to chimps?" And I would add that we are 60% genetically similar to bananas. Let's keep our expectations in check. We are people who, in their current state of evolution, are only about 200,000 years old in a 13.7 billion year old universe. On that scale, we only recently learned to walk upright. We have a long way to go. We need to stay optimistic and keep striving to be better. If you're anything like me, maybe you see many moments of despair in your future. And what I think I know, as I move more deeply into acceptance about what this country is in this moment and what's possible, what I know is that it won't be hope that brings me out of despair. It will be all of you. It will be love. It will be the work that we do together. It will be my belief in a universal love that never lets any of us go. The love between us and whatever is larger than us. The love that I'm aware of in every single moment that I allow myself to be. The love that won't forsake and cannot be forsaken. Breathe. Keep your heart broken open. We will endure. We will tell the truth with integrity and compassion. We will continue to ask, what is love asking of me right now? And we will rise, leaving no one behind. We will rise.